Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. Everton are back, the season's back, Premier League football's back, me and Mark are back. How are you, lad?
Alright, mate, constant grinning with the Everton right now, loving it.
Isn't it nice to be back doing these, right?
Yeah.
And not feel like they're a chore.
I know, I feel like we've been robbed of our soul here, mate, coming and turning up happy about Everton. I don't know, you know, we get that it's not quite happening the way we want it in the transfer market, but it will. But the all-round positivity in general oomph behind us right now is lovely, isn't it?
It's a million miles away from the shows we recorded last season and 100%. The season before.
Yeah, let's hope every single one of these shows is like that throughout the season, and then the last show will be outside in town with an open top bus, but I couldn't think of the name. St. George is always what I meant.
Tell you what, this positivity carries on. We'll be doing these every night.
I know, to be honest,
people will be sick of the sound of our voices.
I'm going to keep it going because the old duck's pond is growing back at the back. I tell you what, mate, we're going to treat with the birds until they meet me, but that's fine.
Well, to the first item on the agenda, how is the dating? How is the love life and the dating?
It's so. I'd say it was Martinez's first season online and then Martinez's second and third seasons when I actually come to meet these girls.
What a comparison. There you go, ladies. This isn't like Alan's deep bath or anything. It's an Everton podcast, but if there is anyone out there between the age of 35 and maybe 55, who isn't a bit weird and goes funny
and likes, you know, I don't know, just likes to waste time or whatever. I feel like Eddie or Richie and Bottom on that video trying to plug myself. But, you know, give us a shout out.
Well, speak to your audience.
I'll definitely DM anyone.
What an opportunity. We've never had that before. Looking for love on Everton Fan Focus. There you go.
I was going to suggest you got the candles out tonight, mate, but now it's too
far. Not quite. Jaffa cakes and donuts, but...
Jaffa cakes and donuts, here we are.
Not quite candles. Anyway, to the footy before everyone decides to turn off. So, last time we spoke was just before the season began.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like a long time ago. It was only 2 weeks today. We spoke before the Spurs game. A bit frustrated about the summer, to be honest. Everton looked a bit unfit, according to Koeman. I think last time we done the podcast, the next day, Everton sold John Stones and signed Ashley Williams. It's always the way when we do these things.
Yeah.
So expect a major announcement tomorrow. but since then, we've sold Stones, we've acquired Ashley Williams, and we played Spurs to open the season. It was great to be back at Cuddersomera.
Yeah, fantastic, mate. Wasn't it? There was a real buzz around the grounds as well. And that just wasn't the security. That just wasn't the sort of ticket fiasco before that. The fume. It was great to be back. I was sad to miss the first goal because I was still waiting outside for it. But I seen, you know, obviously seen the goal later on. It was a really good free kick, wasn't it, by Barkley that invited it. But, you know, that first, like I said before, we're talking about before that, when you see that pitch for the first time, that thrill never leaves you. When, you know, the very first time I saw that pitch, and the 1 millionth time I see that pitch, the thrill is still with you, isn't it? You know, just think, oh, well, the possibilities is with us. And I think for once, there's genuine reason for optimism now. What can happen on that pitch?
Well, I'm sorry to hear you missed the first goal, to be honest, Mark. But just on quickly on that, I think it was something to do with the swipe-in system, wasn't it? I mean, I did stand outside for a good 15 minutes and fortunately got in there with 10 minutes to spare. But yeah, that's a shame, and hopefully there'll be no repeat tomorrow against Yeovil. Well, I wouldn't imagine so because the crowds will be less. But
yeah,
more importantly, you know, Saturday against Stoke. But do we know why that was?
I've no idea, to be honest. To be honest, I thought it was a system failure, but it's kind of coming out now that maybe fans weren't used to it and it was taking their time.
New scanning system.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. I don't know. I just assumed it would be the same system as always, but maybe something different. But whatever it was, there was certainly, I wasn't the only one who missed that first goal. And it was really weird, stood outside Goodison when that went in, because it sounded for all the world like Tottenham scored. Yeah. That away end shout, you know, and it didn't feel like we'd scored, but
I think that's one for, you know, Everton Supporters Trust and the Fans Forum have took that to the club, haven't they, and questioned why. But I think from what I led to believe, I mean, I was more asked about getting in there. I think there was a new sort of scanning system where you put your season ticket or your ticket and lie
yeah.
thing rather than, I don't really know. Hopefully, as I say, it was just teething problems on the first game of the season.
People are rightly going to say I should have left the pub earlier, and they have a point.
But it was great to be, just honest, just before we started talking about the footy, it was great to be back down there, you know, the buzz about it. Nothing changes, does it? It's just great.
It was just great to be back in the Saturday thing. You put your bets on, have a few pints, and you see everyone.
It's the sights and sounds and smells, isn't it?
The owl fellas with the home shirts and the trousers, that's what gets me going, mate. Love it. And they are still have that love for the game, don't they? I hold on like that when I'm 65. Got the trousers now. Let's just hope.
I think it's the first time in about 20 years that I've wore an Everton crested item to the game. I'm not really one for shirts and stuff, but the training gear is just it's brilliant.
I
wore a training top with my jeans and you know, felt really in the mood for it when we were down here. But it was good back down here having a beer.
Definitely.
You know, chips and curry.
Yes.
And a foot long hot dog.
There's always a mile long queue outside the Goodison Shippy, isn't there?
Well, that's a good sign. It's kind of a good chippy, that.
Absolutely, but I also, you know, it was just great to be back and lovely to see the crowd again. And some improvements are being made to it, isn't it?
Well, once we were in, Koeman obviously started with a new formation.
Yeah.
McCarthy was playing at right side because Coleman was injured. Lukaku wasn't fit enough to start. Williams was in the squad, I think, was he?
No, he wasn't in the squad.
It was too soon for him.
Yeah.
So we had Mori, Jagielka and Holgate at the back, McCarthy on the right, Baines on the left. We had Idrissa, the revelation, Ghana guy in the middle with Gareth Barry, and then ahead of that, Ross, Gerard Delafoe,
and Morales.
It was a different sort of setup, but it was one that we'd seen in pre-season.
It was, and we caused Tottenham all kinds of problems in that first half. Thought it was the real height, intensity play. You know, let's face it was a breath of fresh air to us all. Do we actually look like a team out there? You know, we did, you know, tire in the second half, but in the first half I thought we played with a clear plan, with good intensity, good, you know, Tottenham, very excellent team, aren't they? Let's face it, going to do well again this year by the looks. That didn't get really near us in that first half, to be honest.
No, a fit team and very creative movement-wise, aren't they? And I agree, Mark. First half was, we thought, well, we're well up for this here, aren't we?
It was Delafoe's chance that should have really put it to bed for us, and I knew that would cost us. Tottenham are a far too good a team to let, you know, you can't let them off the hook. You need to punish them.
Well, Barkley put us in front. It was a bit of a slow motion goal, wasn't it? Not that you saw it live, but you did obviously see it since. But
it
went through, and it was great to see Ross get off the mark. He could be the real talisman, you know, creative man for us this season, and he is becoming of age, and you know, he hasn't had it all his way the past 2 years, has he?
No. Nope.
So, you know, a new manager, new lease of life, new ideas, new formation. He's still not the finished article, Ross Barkley, far from it, but it's good to see him get off the mark for the season. And then after that, as you say, we could have made it even more.
Absolutely. I mean, Barkley's our opening day specialist, isn't he? You think he's scored the last three seasons on the opening day, you know? Should be nailed on your first goal scorer for Everton, I think, when first start of the season comes round. But like you say, he's got, you know, all the talent in the world. It's just if Koeman can get into a player, you know, then you know, hopefully all these players coming in, you know, the likes of Balassi and stuff, and I know we're talking about things that we're going to talk about later on, but hopefully they can bring the best out of Barkley, maybe take some of the weight off and that's when we'll see the best.
I think when we saw Bolasie coming on Saturday against West Brom, though, you saw that with Barkley and Lukaku, the interchange between them. Even I thought,
no,
this is real. You know, it's that hunger going forward again, isn't it? Lukaku thrives on it. Ross likes players who are on the same creative wavelength.
Yeah.
Obviously, Morales and De La Foe are like that as well. So that final third of the team is just...
It's looking a bit...
It was spine-tingling at times, just watching it on Saturday. Obviously, again, we missed chances. But, you know, going back to Spurs, De La Foe did get in. I wouldn't say him and Morales had the best games, but...
No, I don't think he does himself justice, Morales. No. At the time, talks a good game. It seems like he's been given every opportunity, but he just sometimes doesn't quite do it, does he? And you left fuming at him a little bit because you want him... He's the sort of player
you want him to
do well, yeah. And sometimes it just doesn't happen for him.
So we were ahead at the break, and obviously it was always going to be difficult to keep up that tempo. We pressed Spurs, didn't we? You were hard working inside themselves, but we pressed them. It was a new formation, a new style. Come the hour mark, we did tire though, didn't we? Let's be honest.
Visibly tired.
Every one of them had put a real shift in for at least an hour. Well, to be honest, he did for the full 90, but you could see the tired legs were out there. So
the equaliser was inevitable, really.
Yeah, it was a shame. Something I noticed, Mark, I think one of the commentators said we were... The team who conceded the most goals from headers last season.
Yeah.
And already this season, the two goals we've conceded have been from headers and one from Eric Lamella, which you wouldn't associate with headers goals. But it was a poor goal to concede, and that is a worry. I still don't think we're all there at the back, but bringing Williams in and the emergence of Mason Holgate.
Yeah, what a player he is, by the way. You know, I know Williams, but it was a very Harry Kane type header, wasn't it? You know, the Lamella scored. So he's not renowned for that at all, is he? You know, but it was just sort of a classic away goal to concede, wasn't it? You know, they always drift in apologetically like that.
To be fair, he did deserve it, didn't he, Spurs?
Totally, yeah. I think it was much down to us tiring as much as it was Tottenham improving that second half. But then, you know, that's what happens when you don't punish good teams. They'll come back into it and peg you back.
After that, we probably were on the back foot for the best part of 25, half an hour. Martin Stekelenburg, unreal saves, to be honest. When you see the replays of them, at the time they looked impressive. The one from Vincent Janssen, close range. The tip over from Lamela, which was incredible.
I thought that was Southall-esque. I mean it, honestly. I've never seen that. It's just... blistering. It was like, you know, great football all round, wasn't it? But the save was just ridiculous.
It was brilliant, and obviously that kept the score at 1-1. And
yeah,
to be honest, it was a game of two halves. 1-1 was a fair result. Don't forget we had chances in the first half. But I think most Evertonians would have come away satisfied after the opening game, wouldn't you?
Generally, the feeling I got was just we were so impressed to see Everton back as a team again, not a collection of individuals disgruntled with the manager. You know, I think it was just a relief to see us pulling. You know, and the talk of the town was just great.
You'll
go a long way to find a more impressive debut than that, I think.
He was just, he's something else, isn't he?
It reminded me of when Olivier Decaud made his debut against Aston Villa at home, just that sort of standout performance. Not the same player, of course, but, you know, it was one of them where Gouet just settled right in, didn't he? I mean, you know, that Steve Walsh, all, you know, that type of signing where people weren't impressed, or it's not down to us to identify these players. These guys are on mega books is to identify a system that's going to work and then pick out the players that are going to fit into that system. And how superbly he's quite settled in, it's just ridiculous. He looks looks the complete package, doesn't he?
He was hustling and harrying. He was chasing. He's obviously likes a tackle. But he was also starting the play, winning the ball and then getting the ball forwards as well.
Yeah.
He's not the type of player to be picking 30, 40-yard balls. He's not in there for that. He's more the engine room. He can do the legwork that Gareth Barry probably can't do, maybe did 10 years ago. Don't get me wrong, Gareth Barry has still been brilliant in the two games we've seen him so far this season. I mean,
he's
probably one of the only ones who could hold his head up last season. He did
absolutely,
do well.
Yeah.
And he's still got it.
But every manager he plays under... thinks he's, you know, calls him different exactly. Gravy, doesn't he?
He's like a Jagielka, he's a model professional, but
yeah.
It's just a gay or Ghana or whatever you're going to call him. He's about 4'3" and he's just, honestly, he just got around that pitch so much and he got man of the match, and rightly so, and it does look like a real bargain.
doesn't it? Like Joe Parkinson and, you know, Roll. It was that I haven't seen a player like that since Joe Parkey. I think he was one of my favourites. I know Parkinson was had more to his game towards the end and all that, but maybe Gueye will be like that. And I just thought, what an impressive debut that is. Just sort of riding as if he'd been there 5-6 seasons, no problem, settled in. I just thought, made all the difference. And it's that type of signing that helps you build a foundation, you know, on your team. Nobody's walking to us anymore with him in that middle.
Well, if you look, let's get some views on that then. You're talking about a foundation. Stekelenburg was brought in, and many probably saw him as an understudy to an even newer keeper, maybe.
Yeah.
But you're looking at foundation and unit-wise and how we're set up, starting with Stekelenburg, who could arguably have been in with the shout for man of the match against Spurs.
Yeah.
He'd done well against West Brom. Ahead of that, you've got Ashley Williams. We know what he's all about. You don't need us to explain it.
No.
Ahead of that, Gareth Barry starting the season well. Idrissa Gueye coming in. Up front, Lukaku getting his fitness back. Ross Barkley getting off the mark with the goals. Kevin Morales. It's
all there.
You know what I mean? Add to that, the creative talent of Bolasie, De La Foe, and, you know, your grafters, your Leighton Baines, your Seamus Coleman's, you know, Funes Mori's probably not the finished article, but it is starting to take shape after probably an erratic few months where we have lost a few players, yeah. Pienaar, Hibbert, Osman, to name a few. We're looking like we're going to lose Kone, Nias, McGeady. We needed to get these bodies in, and people were underwhelmed by Stekelenburg and Gueye. But now we've added Williams and Bolasie, and we look set to sign at least two, maybe even three more. So I'm quietly confident.
Mate, there's every reason to be optimistic here. There's you know, I was walked into the club shop, and I'm, you know, clearly aware of who we've got up front and all that. But only when I seen it on the back wall there, all the names on the home shirt, and I'm reading them off: Barkley, Lukaku, Bolasie, Morales, De La Foe. I'm going, you know, what the hell is stopping us this year? There's so much talent going forward. We are addressing it at the back. You know, I think maybe Joe Hart's going to come in finally this week, hopefully.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. You know, all of a sudden we are looking a team. And I think if we somehow can, you know, don't ever net it and just beat Stoke nice and simple, then everything's, you know, the momentum behind us is this is how a good season starts. You know, that's why Saturday's win was so important. But I just think this, you know, it's easy to get carried away thinking about us.
It is easy to get carried away, but I think we've all been Evertonians long enough that we need to take the positives when they come our way.
Definitely.
And have a bit of hope for the future, you know, with the setup from the top to bottom of the club now. Looking at the likes of Holgate, it's cliche, but he's like a new signing. He didn't play last season. He's come in, and you pick him every game to start. You pick him every week now, going off his two performances. He looks like sufficient cover if Coleman's not cutting the mustard at right back, or he's injured. He looks sufficient enough and able enough to play at centre half if we got it with injuries. So it's all about nurturing that and how they fit into the team. Looking on the left hand side, you've got Oviedo, and he's obviously made the decision to let Garbutt and Galloway go out. But I'm honestly a lot more optimistic. Unfortunately, you know, we've been hit with the Bezic injury. We don't know what's going to happen with Dan Gibson. We don't know what's going to happen with James McCarthy. And these are the positions that if they're going to leave, we need to have people coming in place.
Yeah.
But I honestly think that looking at that 180 minutes that we've just played in the past week, that we're going to be in good shape and even better shape come the end of August.
I do, absolutely. You're right. And it's the emergence of the likes of Stekelenburg and Gueye. Right at the start, the people right off has now added depth to our squad, hasn't it? Because these are clearly capable deputy, they're clearly capable players.
Stekelenburg
is already an instant improvement on anything we've had
exactly
in the last 2 years.
Exactly. Stekelenburg is, you know, he's no kid, he's experienced. It may not have, you know, worked out for him in his career very much. I don't know, I don't really know much about his background.
Yeah,
Idrissa Gueye, he's played in Aston Villa in the Prem for a year. Bolasie and Williams are seasoned Premier League players. They don't need time to bed in. This is what my argument was about the price tags the other week. Sometimes you have to pay that, because otherwise what you do, you go out and spend half that amount, but they take 2 years to get going, or it's an expensive gamble, which we've seen.
Absolutely. I completely see where Koeman's going with this. There's no time now. We finished 11th twice. There's obviously a project in mind at Goodison now with Moshiri driving it. we haven't got time to be pissing about mid-table anymore. There's a real direct approach now to improving that team. And Williams, you know, Stones, Williams, yeah, we have replaced potential with proven, which is, you know, people say for the long term isn't. But right now, we need to get up that league table. And he signed proven Premier League players, which are going to improve the team no end and you know, help us get up that table. And then, it's for me, all this is just a means to an end. I'm thrilled with Bolasie. I'm absolutely over the moon that we've signed him. But, you know, right now, it's all a means to an end. We need to get up that table. And you know, if we have to replace, you know, a potential world star with proven quality right now, then so be it. The aim is we're going to attract that world star back when we get up there.
Well, eventually, yeah. And it looks like Lukaku's staying. Obviously, Barkley's going nowhere. It was disappointing to lose Stones, but, you know, we've seen from the week that's followed after John Stones' departure that Everton still lives again, lives to fight another day.
Yeah.
Other kids come in, and to be honest, you know, without trying to put too much pressure on the lad, the likes of Holgate, there is other talent out there. And Everton have got a record of doing it. Unfortunately, in years gone by, we've sold them, and in recent times, Stones eventually succumbed to the powers that be. But I see what you mean. The end game is for us to be one of those powers that be, to lure these players back and bring them in to add to what we've already got. So
yeah.
I think after the Spurs game, Mark, I think we all had a look at it and thought we may have been a bit worried going into it, but at the end of the day, we're still going to pick up results. Koeman's got a plan in place. There is positivity around the club, and we need to try and nurture that and push on now.
Absolutely. And the guy's clearly no messing. And that's what is coming through loud and clear with him. He's almost bullish in his approach, isn't he? You know, he's the criticism of Niasse, you know, was just chalk and cheese compared to Martinez, wasn't it? You know, it was just what everyone wanted to hear. The guy clearly, you know, said that you're not good enough for Everton Football Club. It's just, you know, that directness and that clear, you know, it's just what we've missed. Everton fans, you know, Martinez was stupid to think he can pull the ball over Evertonians, but Koeman certainly shoots from the hip, doesn't he, and tells it how it is. That's what, you know, that's
no
what
mess.
We need.
No mess.
And big enough and brave enough to admit that he got it wrong the first half an hour on Saturday and change it, you know.
That moves us on nicely, to
it does.
Honest. We tend to go off on a tangent, but looking at the West Brom game, he kept the same lineup. Obviously, a lot of stuff's happened in between the Spurs and West Brom games off the field and what have you, but we'll come to them in a minute.
Yeah.
But you know, he started the same team, and he probably thought, yeah, well, you know, could it worked against Spurs to a point.
Yeah,
we'll have a go against West Brom, but let's be honest, from the off, it didn't look right, did it?
No, it didn't. Well, I know with new signings, you know, over the years, they don't tend to start straight away. That, so I wasn't surprised that maybe none of them started. But you're right, it was so apparent that there was no threat at all against the two Bruisers at the back, West Brom, and they, you know, West Brom don't need any invitation to defend, do they? You know, that's what they're about. We just didn't affect them at all going forward.
So you're playing two you know, effectively two wide players up front, which is not tried and tested at Everton.
No.
You know, for the past 3 or 4 years, we've had a real marksman in Lukaku up top.
I think we had an ineffective Barkley.
Yeah,
just Delafoe didn't really.
That's what I mean. It takes a couple of boots to unsettle Morales and Delafoe. Thankfully, Morales had a go back at Jonas Olsen, who's an absolute dog.
Absolutely, but it looks it as well.
It's your Craig Gardners and your Craig Dawson's and all them. They're just dogs, aren't they? Let's be honest. And remember last season when they beat us 1-0? I think one of the defenders scored that day as well. They're always worth a shout for the first goal.
Oh, yeah. Dawson scored in the three. It's just, how the hell can West Brom fans be happy with that? You know, I know that they've not got, or, you know, their heights are set lower, maybe, if that's not too insulting than ours. But how the hell can they put up with that? It's like the guy plays five central defenders every game. It's so boring.
But to be fair, you know, he keeps sides in the league doing that, and I don't think I pay to watch it. But they've done a job on us, as have Stoke in recent years.
Yeah.
You know, it's been doggish football, but ultimately they've ground out results against Everton. But thankfully, we ground out results against West Brom on Saturday. But we went a goal down, didn't we?
Yeah.
It wasn't working. We went a goal down, and it was, you know, looked like a foul on the keeper. It was a cross, yeah. Wasn't it? From in fact, Stecklenburg made the save, didn't he, from the resulting corner.
Was it the lads, the Irish fella, the last on side? I can't remember his name. McLean,
yeah. And then Dawson headed in at the back post, and he gave the home side the lead. And
it was such a
lead, and we thought, oh, was our head going to go down here?
I feel like we've conceded a goal like that to West Brom every season. Yeah. That sort of pathetic, you know, defending. Jagielka should have done a lot better, shouldn't he?
He should have done it. I think that's what I said before. We're still not all there at the back. I think Funes Mori's made errors in both games, to be honest. You know, the thing is, if Funes Mori goes and makes errors tomorrow or against Stoke on Saturday, then Koeman, on the face of it, he'll have no hesitation to drag him out the team and put Ashley Williams in.
I think that's why maybe they're still chasing Lamine Coney, you know. Yeah. I don't think he's convinced with Funes Mori at all. Being a world class defender, he's gonna spot he's gonna be right on that, isn't
he? Don't get me wrong, Funes Mori's a brave lad and he sometimes can look like a bit of a Rolls Royce, but then on the other end he can look like a bit of a
Chevette,
yeah. And he's not the tallest lad in the world as well, which doesn't help. So, you know, it's competition for places with Williams at the back there, and you think it is sort of compensation for losing Stones, but Mori, Jagielka, Holgate and Williams is not a bad middle four to have for
your
disposal.
No, absolutely not. No.
Especially with now the cup competitions, which come the new year, will be coming thick and fast, and hopefully we'll have a few cup runs. But, we probably should have done better for the opener, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
Our heads didn't go down. You could just see probably from about 25 minutes to half an hour, Lukaku got sent out, didn't he, to warm up, maybe even a bit earlier than that.
Yeah, yeah.
You just knew he weren't happy. Koeman weren't happy with it, was he, at all?
No. I think, you know, that just wouldn't have happened last season, would it, though? That instant change, all right, wasn't it? It's 30 minutes, I think it was, with 35 minutes even, when Lukaku came on for McCarthy, but it was like, you just wouldn't. When was the last time you seen that at Everton? A substitution before half time.
I've never seen. Without an injury being involved. And to be honest, James McCarthy didn't do much right, but he didn't do much wrong. He didn't really have much time, and he'd done well against Spurs.
Yeah, I think it was the system, and there had to be.
I've seen a few people slating him, saying he's being dragged off for a reason, but it was a tactical reason.
It was clearly a tactical switch.
And, you know, again, last season, would you have seen Lukaku and Alisson De La Foe on the pitch at the same time? Probably not.
Never.
So, again, it was brave, and I felt with that change, Koeman weren't willing to wait until the second half, and you know West Brom are the absolute masters of shutting up shop, soaking up pressure, and they would have just battered and bruised us all day. But with the introduction of Lukaku and a lot more movement up front and more of a threat, he dragged defenders out of position, which allowed Baines, Morales, De La Foe, Barkley to advance.
I was watching the game and I thought Lukaku. Maybe I'm watching it through rose-tinted glasses a bit, but I just thought he showed a bit. It sounds pathetic, I know, the money he's on, but it sounded like he showed a bit more interest. But then I could see him getting slated all over Twitter and stuff, and I'm thinking, maybe I'm missing this, but I don't know, he looks more interested.
We were certainly involved, put it that way, and we had nothing up front before his introduction. He was involved, and you know, within 10 minutes, it's not all just down to Lukaku. It was an absolute class team goal, wasn't it? And, you know, let's just take a minute to reflect on that. It was real intricate play, and it was a great finish as well. On the angle there, with his left foot, Morales, but the play leading up to it.
Beautiful. Absolutely. Just
sumptuous.
Sumptuous. It was like Morales' goal against West Ham on Moyes' last game, if you remember. It was that type of goal where it was just fluid. Far too much movement. And that's one thing that teams like West Brom can't defend against is quality and pace, isn't it?
Well, those Alehouse defenders had a problem even keeping track of the yellow shirts.
Yeah, with the steak meal being thrown in front of them. Yeah, it was beautiful, wasn't it? And what Morales done well was to hit it early. You know, there wasn't two touches, there wasn't one touch, it was... there was one such, but it was he hit it very quickly, didn't he?
But he caught Ben Foster right out, just the absolutely quick, but great finish.
Barkley did nothing all game, showed his touch, and was the assist behind it, wasn't he? You know,
exactly, and
it was,
I think,
a lovely move.
It was a great time to score as well, always a nice time to score.
Best time, I had no problem then thinking we were going to win that game. I wasn't even, like I was saying before, I wasn't panicking at 1-0, because, you know, you only got to look at the bench to know that, you know, There's some absolute X factor coming on.
I was talking about players there before in the attacking departments, and I'm forgetting Aaron Lennon.
Yeah,
forgetting he even exists. You know what I mean?
But this is what
someone who's been a real asset, I think, since he's come to the club.
But Koeman doesn't want anyone to rest on the laurels here. I'm not Lennon. Certainly isn't going to do that. But that's what I like about it. There's constant competition now. There seems to be a lot more competition for places than a manager who is not afraid to do that. But you're right, Aaron Lennon would have been lost without him at times under Martinez, wouldn't we? You know, valuable contributions.
It's like he's come in and said, I'm setting the bar here, and if you don't live up to it, you'll be bombed out that team.
Yeah.
And you know, with respect, I'm the manager, this is my new setup. You've been shite for 2 years. It's my way or the highway. And do you know what? In this day and age, the money people go and pay to watch football, and the money that footballers are actually paid, maybe being cutthroat from time to time actually sees a reaction. And we'll know from this season, won't we?
Absolutely. And Koeman seems acutely aware of the expectations placed on him, doesn't he? You know, that it's... He's a player.
Well, he's got Twitter. He's got Twitter, so he can see the expectations right there.
Oh my God! I'm surprised he's still on it. I'm amazed. Well done, Ronnie, for sticking with it. But a draw and a defeat, a draw and a win. He's not going to get much shit.
When he puts something on there now, you've got Evertonians replying saying "Love you, Ronald," and all that. Come October, when it's pissing down and we're getting beat 1-0 by West Brom at Goodison. It'll be like, what are you doing, you fucking touch lunatic?
He'll be getting called all the names under the sun then, yeah. But I'm sure he's got thick skin. But he just looks the man for the job, doesn't he, in every way? Yeah. Every way. Not afraid to I get the feeling he's losing patience with Delphi, you know, I really do. I don't know, I think he's expecting a lot more from him. Yeah, and what like about Koeman?
Andy, who's been on the podcast, is a mate of ours, he said, didn't he, on a message the other day, does anyone else think that Delofo could leave before the end of the window?
Yeah.
He put it out there, and I thought, actually, yeah.
But then
he said he doesn't look a happy player.
It doesn't, but then that sort of doesn't add up with Koeman's plans to put him in a more central role, when in the early part of pre-season, and in fact, the Tottenham game, he started as a striker, didn't he, you know, but it doesn't add up, but I just get the feeling he's not happy with him. He's expecting a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, one of them. I just don't know. But
he called him completely off, wrong. He took him off against West Brom, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. At a time when, you know, we and Spurs.
Yeah.
Both got hauled off. Yeah. Just think he's not going to put up with players not putting it in. I don't know. Delofeu's got it all there again. So another player. Maybe this is a means to an end again, just to get him to get up his ass. Some players have had it a bit too
comfy. Just because you're from Barcelona, you're not going to get 90 minutes. To be fair, fitness always looks like an issue with Gerard Delofeu, but I'd hate to lose him. He's such a fantastic player.
We're probably talking rubbish, to be honest.
We probably are, but Andy didn't plant the seed the other day and it got me thinking. But I'd love to see him here for forever, to be honest. Delofeu, he's real. These are the players you want to see in a royal blue shirt. But second half, Mark, we were a different side. Similarly to Spurs, where it was our half in the first half, it was West Brom's half, ultimately up until we equalised.
Although they weren't great, were they?
No, they weren't great. By no means are they a Spurs or an Everton.
No.
With all due respect. But we came out and we looked hungry, didn't we?
Straight from the way it got. It was like the whole play was camped in their half, wasn't it? You know, it was like the first half never happened. We just, that goal at the stroke of our time meant a lot, didn't it? And Everton came out. I was totally relaxed about winning that game. No problem. I just didn't think West Brom had another goal in them, to be honest. We looked really threatening.
We started applying the pressure, didn't we? Side Morales, Delofeu, Barkley, seeing a lot more of the ball.
Baines is looking back to his old self again, isn't
confident,
he?
looking to pick passes forward, which he doesn't feel like he's done for ages.
Exactly. And he's looking, it's another one who's benefiting from the change in management, I think.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I don't think you're going to see Baines rolling his eyes too much at Koeman, but he looks another one who's just stepping it up again.
From half time, half an hour spell, probably until the latter stages when Ricky Lambert had that chance, or someone had that chance when Lambert had come on. It was all Everton, to be honest.
Fletcher
Colgate
had
and Jagielka kept it tight at the back. But going forward, we had a few a spell of corners. Funes Mori nearly scored, didn't he? Which then resulted in the corner for the goal. But it was a great header around the back.
Fantastic header, that, wasn't it? I mean, the angle he met and the power he got behind it was going in the top corner, wasn't it? You know,
it was a great save, wasn't it?
It was definitely a great save, tipped it round, but it was, you know, that's where we really cast in off the next one.
Yeah, and the resulting phase of play, obviously,
what's going on?
Now Holgate, the defenders getting in on the act. Funes Mori drew the corner, then Holgate got the assist on Gareth Barry.
I know.
It's a 100th game for Everton.
Aye, 100th game for Everton, different class. But like you say, what a weird combination to set up a goal. No attackers involved.
No
attackers involved. Holgate, it was absolutely mouth-watering, I thought. In defence and attack, he looked, you know, he looked like a good player going forward, didn't he, as well? It just looks completely fearless, completely at ease.
He looked cheddared when Barry scored as well. Some of the reactions from our players and fans is great, I always think, especially when we take the lead.
The celebrations, it's
great to see. If you're not there, it's still great to even watch and listen to,
know what I mean? Absolutely.
But Barry, Lukaku, and then that image of the whole team running away again just after the celebration is just great. And I think it shows good team spirit and a passion. That's what you want, you know what I mean? You want players and fans over celebrating. You want, you know, you don't want just the prawn sarnie brigade clapping and the players acknowledge the fans from 30 yards away. You want the players with the fans.
That's what I want I'm going to do a bit of a rant. That's what I want in an away fan or a football fan. That I don't want to see what you see when Ibrahimovic steps up against United and pretty much everyone that you see stood there with a phone in their hand. Yeah. Now, I get that, you know, people want to share a penalty going in with the rest of social media, but where's the football fan gone? For a start, I go through too many phones as it is. I lose mine on the bus, so I wouldn't stand a chance in the Gladys Street with a penalty. But you know, but that's just them of the days, weren't they? You know, maybe I'm old school, but that's you know, if you're a fan, the phone away and go nuts.
Well, apparently some Borough fans were doing it yesterday when they had that penalty.
Yeah, Liverpool fans do it when the opposition scores. I mean, they're just a weird bunch.
Yeah, they are. But imagine us doing it like in a derby, watching it. The last thing you do is get your phone out.
Can you imagine doing all that when Big Duncan scores that winner against United?
You're too busy doing the windmill for the next hour.
It looked like a phone amnesty if Everton did that when Big Duncan scored.
Yeah, right. It was the windmill. Gareth Barry probably just rewards for the past year that, you know, as I say, he's probably one who could hold his head up. And
again, the winner coming at that near post like he did last year with Lukaku.
Yeah, and I think he's proved that, you know, for the additions we make, the Idrissa Gueye, the other signings we're linked with, the younger lads around the team, he's an old head, a professional. His second season at Everton wasn't great when he first signed him permanently, let's be honest.
No.
His first season was brilliant, his third season was good in a shit team.
Yeah.
And now he looks like he's carrying it on, and he's a leader, and he's a captain material as it can. But the likes of Gareth Barry, Jagielka, Williams around the place.
Yeah.
Is only going to benefit the likes of Guy, the likes of Holgate.
Absolutely, yeah. That's why he's in the team, to be honest. Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So, you know, Gueye already looks like a great player, doesn't he? It's going to benefit hugely from a master of his art, really, Gareth Barry.
But he's not known for his goal scoring anymore, is he?
I know, but he's cropping up with the winner now. Like, maybe he can be our Paul Power this season, you know, he can be that player, you know, who just comes of age again in the team. But
alright, calm down, have another swig of your tea.
I'll have another brew. I'm getting tired winning.
I wish people who's listening to this could see his arms when he's talking. I'm scared he's going to knock my glasses off my head. Fucking all over the place. That's probably why these beds don't last with you. You go on a date with them and he's feeling them up and he doesn't even know it.
Wacky, wavy, inflating cheese mouth.
Put a Jaffa cake in your hand and calm down.
Well, I think it's the medication's wearing off.
After that, we had chances, didn't we? And Bolasie came on. Absolutely.
I'm not getting it, mate.
Even if he come on and done that, played like that for every half hour, you know, just off the bench. Absolute. The legs on him, that little stud roll thing, I was foaming at the mouth watching repeats of that. He come on, first thing to do, skin that right left back and put it over to Barkley. Oh, Barkley's got to score, hasn't he?
He's got to score, and it was an absolute insult to Blassie's cross that he put it wide. Oh, Giltez's chance. Oh, he couldn't score. I mean, the keeper was planted, rooted to the spot. Great ball in, and that was his first contribution, wasn't it? Oh, Blassie, I'm having him all day long. I think he's a great player. I'm not having... There's someone tweeted, no end product. No end product. Just watched two worldy, you know, setups. Well, you know, I mean, even when he was on the ball, and he's one of them players, he's just going to get everyone stood up.
Yeah.
Honestly, we've waited far too. I've watched Nicholas Alexanderson, Simon Davis, you know, Edan Tal, all these times. I haven't been excited about a winger like this since we signed Kanchelskis. I just think he's going to be... You know, I know people are going to think I'm getting carried away, but he's just... It looks like he's got it all. All right, he's been at Palace for a long time, but it looks like now he's ready to make that step up. As we're making that step up, I think he's just going to go hand in hand.
Palace fan put on Twitter, like, just seeing Balassi's ball over for Barkley. Best ball he's ever put in. Where's he been for the past 4 years or so?
Where's he been for the past 4 years?
He come on and showed it, and you know, not only down the right hand side. Look at that when he burst in on the left and then put Lukaku in for the second field edge chance.
Yeah.
Look at when he charged forward and done that little stud drag again, got took out, then got the ball back off Lukaku and had a shot, didn't he? That just went wide.
Yeah.
He should have probably put it into one of his teammates then, but that little cameo was just like he's just playing with a real spring and a step and a real enthusiasm, and that's what you want from your creative players. He's not going to be in the team to be... He might have to do a bit of tracking back, but he's not in the team to be in his own half. He's up there. That relationship with him, Barkley and Lukaku, looked malfoising.
But he's also someone who does put genuine fear into opponents. Yeah. Genuine, you can't pace power tricks. You know, it's been so long since we've had a player like that who puts panic into opponents just by getting on the ball. You know, he's gonna make space for other players. I'm absolutely made up with that sign. I think he's gonna just be an assist king all season.
He will, and I think that, you know, that little cameo, it's only a cameo, but it's a great debut. It's a complete
non-entity against Stoke.
Yeah, just Stekelenburg. You know, Stekelenburg had a good debut. Gay has not put a foot wrong in 180 minutes.
Again, look,
Velasquez come on in the test. Williams come on in the end, didn't he, to show things up? But we should have been 4-1 up by the time West Brom had that chance with Fletcher late on.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Lambert comes off the bench. You know what? It's just written in the script, isn't it? Ricky Lambert, another yard dog, comes on and he'll get the equaliser.
Red shirt lad, yard dog.
That free kick that we give away, but
Mason Holgate handballed it. Do you know what?
Yeah, on one half, you're being excited about a new Everton, and on the other half, you're sitting here about to put your laptop or your telly through the wall because you just know what's coming because it's Everton. But thankfully, for once, the script wasn't written. You know what I mean?
It didn't. Like John Terry when I threw my phone against the wall in the 99th minute. Yeah. I think match of the day was almost starting when he put that
you
in.
You think to yourself, only Everton.
The Pedentes. Yeah, that didn't happen for once. I think we cleared it. Yeah. Or we just got away with it or whatever. But when Holgate handballed that, just getting Martinez flashbacks. All night. I thought, all for that moment.
I think what we've seen with the Delafoe, Giltel's chance, Barkley and Lukaku, is that it is early in the season. Those chances we need to start putting them away.
Yeah.
Because if we miss a sitter against Stoke on Saturday, another side who you know, will come to Goodison full of confidence, then they get themselves in front and we'll ruin that chance then. We're regretting it. Whereas we need to be... You know, like last season, similarly against Stoke, right? Remember, we should have been about 21-0 up. Remember?
Absolutely.
Before, we were 3-0 up. So the game, but it, you know...
If it had finished 15-0, it would not have been surprised, but it only takes
Everton to go 3-1, maybe even 3-2. We've seen it last season, didn't we?
Yeah.
Against Stoke, 4-3.
Well, at home,
it's just... In this league and at this standard and at this pace and, you know, such rigours of the Premier League... We need to be putting our chances away, and hopefully that rustiness will wear off now. And we'll tomorrow night against Yeovil, and then Stoke on Saturday. We'll keep up the momentum.
We've got to be more cutthroat. Yeah, absolutely, definitely. Got it. We just have to see every chance, like you know they always do, as a golden opportunity to really practice on your finishing. Because we're just going to create hatfuls. You know, Lukaku. He's basically got a free dinner pass, and he with Balassi on the right there. It's how many goals do you want? You know, the fellas can set him up all day long.
Well, again, that brings us nicely. He's apparently said he's staying.
It
was good to see him back in an Everton shirt on Saturday after the Euros and after the speculation. He's come on, he's played his part. Yeah, he should have had a goal, but it was good to see Romelu Lukaku back in an Everton shirt. Was. So
some complaints that he ran off at the end.
Yeah, but
I don't know what that's about, to be honest.
You don't know, do you? You know, you might have needed a shirt or something. You may have needed to get on Snapchat and start dancing. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not reading too much into it. Koeman's obviously said, he said he wants to stay for at least another year. The club aren't going to come out early and go, oh yeah, Lukaku wants to stay another year. The club will probably just stay quiet and let the window pass. Whereas if he was signing a new contract, he'd be all over it. But he might have just said, look, I'll give you another year. I want to see what we can do this year, but then I'm going to probably move on, which, you know, fair enough. Four or five years service from him, I'm probably over 100 goals.
Yeah.
You know.
I know, sounds weird, doesn't it?
The thing is, the potential for him to get even more than 20 goals this season is there.
He ought to be looking at 30 league goals, shouldn't he, a player of his...
With the creative players we've got.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to see that someone wants to stay, you know, if it's for the short term, it's for the short term, but...
It's mad since that Rice Antsev went over to talk to Mini Weola and Lukaku that they absolutely said nothing after that meeting. There was no, you know, all the bluster about moving to a Champions League club was before that. And then, you know, maybe sending over a henchman worked or whatever Rice Antsev is. But, you know, Bashiri is, you know.
He's staying anyway. And,
yeah.
Mason Holgate got man of the match against West Brom. And yeah. I think we need to talk about him a bit because the lad just looks. He looks in gold. A class of his own.
Doesn't he? Just absolute gold, as if he'd been playing 20 for 20 years. Just ridiculous. The composure and the talent that he had, and no panic, quality in his play, and look to link up going forward as well. Ridiculous.
I like the way he can nip in and get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, because he's young and he's got the legs. It only takes one sort of a bit of a yard where the ball's a bit loose, sort of player's got to run onto it, and he can nip in. And he's not the biggest lad, but he can get his body in the way. He's athletic. I think he's a great reader of the game. He's so composed. He looks a natural. I agree with you. He looks like he's been playing in the Premier League for years.
Let's stop that. It's not an initial burst like a Danny Cadamatri or you know, that sort of thing. You know, where they come in and do well initially and then fade. I think he's got it. He looks like, you know, he wants to cement his place, doesn't he? You know, he's not just there to fill in the gaps. Looks like he wants to make it his own.
And Ashley Williams also came on.
Yeah.
You know, another debutant, and he didn't really do much wrong. He didn't have an awful lot to do late on, but, you know, he's probably going to start tomorrow night against Yeovil, isn't he?
Absolutely, but it all looks good, doesn't it? You know, these players coming on for us, you know, proven quality players coming on, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever. But it just all looks, points to a more ambitious Everton this season when we see players like that coming on. It's great. Yeah, he didn't have much to do, did he?
So overall, it's been a morale-boosting first week, hasn't it?
100%.
On the pitch and off it. And I mean, we've talked a little bit there about the new boys. Balassi's the most recent one. What we'll do now is we'll move on to the transfer rumours.
Yeah. God, I mean, this is a podcast in itself, man, to be honest.
Well, we're gonna do a podcast on deadline day, aren't we?
Yes.
We're gonna roll out the multi-pack of Jaffa cakes. Get a few other Evertonians involved, you know, friends of the show.
Absolutely.
We'll be back next week, won't we?
We are going to be so sick of the sight of each other.
No, if we've got good things to talk about.
Absolutely not. And Everton have given us plenty to talk about. How many players have you been linked with this summer?
Well, we're always linked with a lot of players, but fans want to see concrete, don't they? And I think until they see that Twitter image, welcome Balassi or welcome Williams, they can't really relax, and everyone seems to claim to be an in the know these days. So it's a lot of hearsay with Everton. But at the moment, being linked with Joe Hart, rather than waffle on all night about it, just some thoughts on it. Yeah.
No brainer. If he gets back his form that he had 2 seasons ago, we've got England's best goalkeeper. I mean, you know, be an absolutely great signing.
Okay. same here. Loan or permanent, either way.
I'm not asked.
If he improves what we've got, I'm all for it. And if we need 3 keepers to get us where we want to be, I'm all for it. I like Joe Hart. He's prone to the odd error, but, you know, we've put up with Tim Howell for 10 years. So, anyway, we won't go there. But, yeah, I'm up for that. What about Wilfred Bony? Now, this rumour won't go away. Let's not... One match is probably not going to happen, but the Bony one, there is whispers, isn't there, doing the rounds, that he's going to... He's going to move, and it's going to be a late move.
He's clearly, and I thought initially that the interest had completely gone away, hadn't it? You know, and stuff. And there was sightings of him around town, and there was, you know, rumours that he was going to sign, but nothing came of it. I don't know. He's a player I'd have. I'm not overly excited about it, to be honest with you. But it's like, do we think it's going to be like a deadline day signing, maybe, or just towards the end there? I think Boney would certainly have goals and a presence up front, wouldn't he? You know, it's just the big talk at the moment is Yassine Brahimi. From Porto.
Go on then, watch it now, because everyone else seems to be an expert.
I don't want to, like, because there's people out there who think, God, everyone's an expert on Portuguese football. I think that's slightly, you know, there's so much football on TV these days, it's quite easy to follow players like this. Brahimi is just a player where the ball sticks to his foot. Another ball carrier, just exactly what we need. You can't have too much creativity in the side. He does score goals, but he is just another one of these who invites the challenge, commits players forward, and it's a really exciting player for Porto. I think he's another ball carrier, someone who can come in and you know, Barkley's going to have a job getting in front of him if that's the case. You know, if he's
competition, fair competition. Yeah,
it's just all I'm loving Koeman's focus on creativity, which is clearly what we need.
Yeah.
But you know, slowly but surely we're getting there with that. And if we sign Brahimi, then, just another baller.
Well,
an absolute baller.
The links with him have come from nowhere, because we were linked with that gazelle. Is that how you pronounce it?
Absolutely. People started putting up pictures of gazelle bunch in the supermarket. That got my interest for a bit.
It seems to have cooled, and now, you know, I think is it that Get French Football on Twitter have said, you know, he's rejected the move and he's staying, which, you know, I don't know.
It shows a lack of bottle, if you ask me.
There was other rumours that he was having a medical today, so I just do not know what to believe. But again, he's a creative player, I'm led to believe. So there's another two. Lamine Kone, that looks like it's going to go to the deadline day, doesn't it? He's going to come to Everton, isn't he?
His time is up at Sunderland, surely. The guy was banned from the first team squad, and he wasn't even on the bench, was he, yesterday? I don't think, against Middlesbrough.
Moyes,
he's going to make out if this is all the players doing. So, you know, but I tell you what, mate, since Machiri's come, we're starting to see opposition players getting left out of squads. I'm loving it, mate. Bring it on.
People throwing, people refusing to play
to come to us. Yeah. Let's just take that in for a minute. You know,
people refusing to play for us because it's not shocking.
It's slowly but surely, we're getting there with this change of...
Look at it from the start, man.
You know, perception.
I said this a while back. Going to Southampton, taking the manager.
Yeah.
Going to Leicester, taking the head of recruitment.
Yeah.
Going to Swansea, taking the captain. Going to Crystal Palace, taking the star player.
Absolutely.
Going...
Villa to their Aston best Villa. Player. I know that's not the same, they got relegated, but it's still their best player.
And literally taking one of their best players now, linked with Lamine Kone, standing up for Sunderland.
Credited
with
keeping
them. I'm not saying these are world class players in world class teams, but these are tables have turned.
These are other players' other teams' best players. These are teams, some of them who finished above us last season, you know.
If we go out and sign that Algerian, Lamine Kone, and Wilfred Bony,
and maybe Hart.
Imagine, without Wilfred Bony, you've got stadium, Joe Hart.
Let's still have the boat party.
Coney, Hart,
yeah,
and that Algerian. I don't even know what his name is. The Algerian one from Porto.
Yassine Brahim. It's a lovely pint, to be honest. I'm more of a cause guy, but I like.
That's how I'll remember it. Is it Brahma?
Brahma. That's it. Brahma. But. It's a bit like chain letters. You take the A out, put the I and the M in, and substitute it for Brahimi.
What is your tipple at the moment, by the way?
At the moment, tipple is it's Desperados, mate.
Desperado.
I think Desperado suits probably what's going on inside at the moment, and also what's going on. You know,
you've been hanging out with my, too much.
Too much.
My stuff.
Absolute desperate ass, mate. No, Desperado, mate. Is I drink the lager that I'm on is Estrella Damm right now. Just forget Everton.
I
think if a classic Friday night, if we're watching the Championship football and got our bets going on, it's Estrella Damm and maybe four bottles of Desperado. Yeah. And that's when Twitter starts getting exciting. Then when I'm on that,
you've had a few scoops.
Then, you know, a few scoops with the women and a few scoops with.
Well, personally, I'm a big fan of San Miguel, to be honest, at the moment. There's another one I've discovered in the Real Ale pub by ours, which it's not a real ale, it's a lager, like, but it's Paul Anne.
I reckon I've heard of it.
I think it's from Dortmund in Germany.
Yeah, are we linked with him?
Been,
if Steve Walsh wants him, mate, I don't care who he is.
I must admit, it's a nice tipple, and to be honest, we could do with a few here, could we?
We could, mate, it's a lovely
possibility, but Tisky, however you want to say it. Beautiful drink. Favourite, yeah.
Yeah, I think, beautiful drink.
We haven't been linked with no polls yet, though.
The Lewandowski, no. Keep so dreaming, Max.
Back to the footy.
Back to Everton. We did like a human touch. Human beings, weren't
we? We were linked with every man and his dog. Yeah. But, you know, if you look at that, Coney coming in, Hart, potentially a creative player or a striker, that for me completes the recruitment for the summer. 6 or 7 players, would that be?
I think people are putting too much focus on the money that we're spending because they don't want it to look like we've sold stones to buy these players. But I'm for the first time, I'm not so concerned with how much we spend. It's the quality that I want to see us bring in. I think Steve Walsh's remit is also to find these players at a decent price as well, isn't it? You know, that's part of the deal. I know we're not sell to buy anymore. I don't think we are anyway, to be honest. I believe a lot about what financial fair play and that we needed to sell stones for us to go and offer these wages. Let's face it, it's the wages that's winning the day, not the transfer fees, that Everton are offering. I'm more concerned about what's going to come through the door, and I think we're going to get what we want, absolutely. So what if you have to wait till the last day? We've won one, drawn one. Let's just plod along and then bang.
Were you getting them in there? International break, which couldn't come at a worse time. International break, I've always thought that. But
do not get beat, Everton.
Look, you know, we'll look ahead to the further fixtures in a minute, but looking at what lies ahead for the next 4 or 5 games, there's no reason to not get excited, even with the current crop of players that we've got now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
If you think to that, we're going to add 3 or 4 players coming back from fitness, you know, Coleman coming back into the side as well. It's, you know, there'll be further depth and we should be in great shape come the 1st of September. But I see what you mean. There is an emphasis on price tags. There's an emphasis on ages and stuff like that. But I've said this for a couple of weeks now, sound like a broken record. The plan at Everton now, I believe, is one that will work. Koeman is not a stupid person. Steve Walsh obviously isn't. I'm certainly Farhad Moshiri. He's not a stupid person. It's not slapdash approach.
Hold on, there's no stupid people at Everton anymore. Apart from one guy.
It's a very sensible approach and a sensible, ambitious approach, I would say.
Absolutely. It's controlled.
Yeah, people might find it a bit reserved at the moment, but I think in terms of what we are or what we're aspiring to be, we may be a bit reserved for a year, 18 months, 2 years, and then you might think other things like the stadium come into fruition.
Absolutely. There's no substitute for a clear plan, you know, and I just think that's what we have behind us right now. With clear thinking, there's a process behind everything. The aim is to get us, you know, up there, but obviously we're not going to do it overnight. You can't, with the likes of Man City and Chelsea spending all kinds on players, it's just not going to happen overnight, but slowly but surely, you know, we're getting there, aren't we? It's just,
we are, and obviously you've been recording, Mark, you've gone and asked the fans, haven't you? If you could sign 3 players before the end of the transfer window for Everton, who would they be? And I'm surprised your battery hasn't died because you always get loads of replies.
So many replies.
Should we pick them out? We probably won't be able to read them all, but let's go through them.
Yeah, pick them out. Roger Matrum has put on that he'd like to see Schneiderlin, Hart, and a top striker. Haven't got a clue. If you ask many Blues, not many people have an idea of what striker we need.
Well, positionally though, it's still interesting to know, isn't it? Where they see we need reinforcements. So.
I actually would love Hernandez. If we could whack 40 million quid in for him, no problem.
One, a couple more.
Andrew McGregor's put Coney, Hart and Ziyech. Don't know anything about Ziyech. I know
that's
people
a Polish lager.
Is that the one? Yeah. Is that the one? Yeah. 4 for a tenner.
I didn't know we'd be in link with him.
4 for a tenner's a rip off, wouldn't pay that. Everton Fanatics put Brahimi, Hart and Slimani. I think Slimani plays for Sporting Lisbon.
He's been linked with West Brom and West Ham, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah, he has, that's right. You want to read the results? Yeah. There's so many replies.
Greenall EFC says Mata, Hart and Slimani, but do you think the Mata thing's gone on?
Yeah, I kind of got upset when he started for United at the start of the season. I thought, you know, I was hoping the old friction between him and Mourinho would work in our favour, but it seems like Mourinho is favouring him at the moment, doesn't it? Mm. I'm on that last, I don't know. But.
That, there's another one, Xenophon Law says, Lamine Coney, Shawcross, Boney, / Lacazette, and Butland, / Begovic, / Hart, so he's obviously given a few options there. Yeah. Lamine Coney or Shawcross, Boney or Lacazette, and Butland, Begovic or Hart. Who else? Errol, Richie Errol says, Shane Long, oh, I don't know about that. Asmir Begovic and Brahimi.
As, you know,
a few more, come on.
Absolutely, a few more. I don't know whether I should read this one out. Messi, Neymar and Pirlo, Johnny Lennon reckons. Pirlo we might have a shout with. let's think. Martin Nolan, he thinks it's going to be Hart, Coney and Brahimi, who's coming in. That seems
who
to be
said there?
Notorious POG.
Yarmolenko, Raquel May, and Witzel.
Witzel.
He's just gone
off. She had Sean Davis into that list.
Moutinho.
Well.
Who else? Let's have a look.
There's a few, you know.
Everyone keeps saying Mata, don't they?
Mata's like Hart, the one, and he, you know, that he's the one that would have made a clear difference.
Is there any women on here taking up your offer of a date? Or?
None just yet, no.
No, no.
We'll get there, you know.
Gray says, Gray, come on, you believe, says Oscar.
I like that one. Oscar from Chelsea.
Yeah, or yeah. Cheeky bid for Rooney. Someone Paul, Paul Juranovic.
Juranovic, great name.
We've been linked with him as well.
Rooney. I think Rooney's going to have a problem there at United, if you want a quick opinion on that. I just think, I don't know, just United lack pace going forward, don't they now?
What's this here?
Who have we got here?
Ali Al-Habsi, Gary Caldwell and Will Grigg. Oh, sorry, was thinking Martinez was still in charge.
Oh, mate, what are we doing?
Stiardi with a bit of comedy there.
Yeah, sending us back, flashback style.
God,
oh,
get
no,
the bleach out.
Mate, to be honest, yeah. Can't think about Martinez here. It's just an absolute dark.
He's not thinking about
period.
You neither. He's sitting off with his Belgium tracking on him now. Well, that'll do for the fans' views. But thanks everyone for replying. Yeah. But yeah, we're gonna come and have a podcast on deadline day as well, aren't we?
We are.
So
fume fest, I reckon. There's nothing happening.
Do you reckon? Well, if it doesn't happen, we'll just have a bevy.
Well, that's all good then. Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll just have a beer and we'll look back on the month of August with the lads. So you know, it's not all doom and gloom.
It's all good.
Hopefully, in an ideal world, we get the players in before deadline day. But hopefully, you know,
if we can get Alan Myers back in and he can just type the words busy. With 3 hours to go, then
hopefully Sky can have a word and say, you know, there's Everton fans there who are on tenterhooks. Let's keep them till the last minute on the 31st of August.
So, what you're saying is we're getting Rachel Riley round for a bevy afterwards.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Oh, nice one, I'll make up my lad's spare bed.
I don't quite think she'll join us in Segura. But we'll try. Maybe the appeal of 8 cans of Tyski or something, like, you know.
I think under Mashiri's Everton, anything's possible, mate.
No, we are getting carried away, but back to the drawing board. What's next? What's the next item of discussion, Mark? Come on.
I'm gonna have to. This is just not as slick. This is not like Sky Sports where they've got it all set out. We have to look through.
We haven't got iPads going on. You know, it's not like Carragher and Neville on a Monday night. This is it.
It's not. We're gonna look ahead.
More like Laurel and Hardy.
Laurel and Hardy. Or
no. Come on.
To be honest, we're talking about Stoke.
Stoke, right.
At home,
we need to talk about Yeovil as well.
We do. Oh God, yeah.
With all due respect to Yeovil,
oh, we're ship losers.
We didn't even write you down because we forgot about the game. But yeah, Everton in action in the Football League Trophy. Is it called
EFL now? It's confusing the life out of me.
Anyway, we've got Yeovil. League two side.
Yeovil. I know they're from Somerset. Is that right?
Come on.
I think the odds on have like the beard from there, mate. That's about it, I think. But
let's not do them a disservice, right?
No, of course not.
There's always the potential for an early season mess up, isn't there? Or, you know, slip up.
Yeah.
Potential banana skin. But it looks like Bolasie's going to get a start, as is Ashley Williams. I would expect the likes of Brian Oviedo to probably play. Joel Robles, James McCarthy, maybe Darren Gibson will get the nod. Lukaku apparently is going to start, so I don't know whether
I'd like to see Holgate continue as well, to be honest. Yeah. I think it's a great game for Yeovil, isn't it? Let's face it, it's a good night out for the fans who come up, don't get the chance to come up to Premier League grounds that often, I would think. And it's a great tie for them. I've been scarred so many times by Everton in the League Cup. I get Millwall flashbacks when they beat us 4-2 and stuff like that. But that was, I fully expect us to to do a job on them, maybe. Yeah. Maybe get a few goals up and then take players off, and that's when you'll see a little bit disjointed. But I think we'll do it first half. Yeah. Hopefully, don't do it, Everton. Don't just have us worried. But I think it should be okay. Everton, we're playing well. There's no reason to think we're going to go.
That's it. And I think, you know, the players who come in are not exactly fringe players. They're just other players, you know.
Yeah.
That's what the depth's all about now. And
yeah,
it's not where we want it to be quite yet. But there's enough quality there and players coming back that we need to do a job tomorrow night. And, you know, I take a 1-0 win now just to keep the momentum going. And
like Cuban's comments, he's in it, you know, he's in it to win it, isn't he? You know, that's what every manager should say, to be honest. But it's like Cuban was not taking that lightly, was he, in the slightest?
Always said about that League Cup, it's a trophy at the end of the day, and it's a chance to get a trophy in the bag early in the season as well.
Absolutely. And you know, we need that catalyst. Can't underestimate how important it is to win that trophy. We need a trophy. It doesn't matter if it's the League Cup. Man City started it all off with a League Cup win, didn't they? You know, against, I think, Stoke, wasn't it? Or in the final, I'm not sure. But, you know, you need that first trophy for everything. Everything else springs off that. So that's, you know, we should be going into this treating it with the utmost respect. I think we will. And I think we'll just...
Well, success breeds confidence, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, we want to keep the form going. We want a couple of goals, and then we're playing Stoke at home, who didn't look great against City. To be fair, they, you know, City played very well at the weekend, didn't they? But Stoke didn't look great. Q a 5-3 win for Stoke.
Well, on to Stoke, and we were linked with Arnautovic. Shaqiri's still there, you know. But they're probably the two players who stand out, aren't they?
Yeah, Bojan as well
as a snide, haven't you, in the team still.
I'm made up to see Shawcross get punched for them, that penalty. It's a new directive, you know. There's every chance we're going to get a penalty on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
With the pulling in the box, I do think that's a good directive, that, because it goes on far too much. Phil Neville, what kind of shite he was chatting on Saturday night, saying he wasn't a fan of it. You know, Lineker was going, we're going to get more goals though. You know, Neville's just,
yeah,
Mr. Top 10 is an advocate of boredom, but.
Phil Plait.
You're going to see defenders like Shawcross exposed, because, you know, that's what they rely on.
Well, he's one, isn't he? Like Shawcross, he's one of the surviving dogs in that Stoke team. They have got a bit more flair these days, you know. I know it's a bit Shaqiri and Bojan. I'd have any of them in my team. I know that.
We can't overcommit.
In the middle, Mbula's sort of a similar ilk to Gay.
I thought he looked awful, to be honest, Mbula against City.
Yeah, against City he did, but they bought him last year, didn't he, to come in that central midfield role. You know, anything's better than Glenn Whelan.
But I think it's important we don't overcommit though against Stoke. That's
No, I think we've
got to be patient.
Yeah, it's right to get the set up right. Lukaku will come back in. Again, you know, does Bolasie start or do we use him as an impact? We see where the games are after an hour.
I can see Bolasie starting and Dalafou being that impact player. Maybe.
Yeah, I think even with Bolasie off the pitch, we should have enough to beat Stoke City. Most sides in the league do, but they're not a bad side. Do you know what I mean? Mark Hughes has done relatively okay.
Often see them get beat two or three times on the spin.
You don't. And, you know, it's cliche, but well organised side. He's got his players working hard. Every single pundit seems to say that sentence every single time they're talking about footy.
Yeah,
but it's probably true with Stoke. I nearly mentioned West Brom then. So yeah, it's not probably a game that everyone gets excited for.
It's a game that everyone will get excited if we win. I can see it snowballing if we get part.
Of course, I'm getting married at 3 o'clock, so you text me if we score.
I will.
I'll make sure my phone's on silent.
Yes.
And if come 5 o'clock,
you'll be hoping for multiple notifications.
I'll be putting Z cars on the as a request
on the dance floor.
Not like you can dance to Z cars, but I can certainly slide on my knees. Well, like
me and I've been comfortable walking doing the locomotion.
Yeah, you can. Do you know what? Bring Arthur Goodison. I'm not asked. Right, let's... all down here.
Max wedding on Saturday. Get your asses down there instead of going the brick.
So anyone who is coming to my wedding, I do apologise that we're getting married at the same time as Everton play. But, you know, you have to think of priorities these days.
I think you have to keep the missus happy above all else.
So, it's there's the Stoke preview.
There's me in trouble with your missus.
No, she's fine. She won't be listening, put it that way. We've got the game tomorrow. Obviously, two home games as well. Chance to momentum.
Absolutely.
After that, Mark, we've got some interesting ties, haven't we? We've got Bournemouth, who are, you know, relegation candidates this year.
I'm looking at the next five games. I think, you know, and there's every chance that we can get a few, you know, we can fin. There's a tough game. Arsenal, I think, is the next tough game we've got, isn't it? Although Arsenal are looking like a stale piece of bread.
Same old story. That I was listening Arsenal. To TalkSport before, and boring, isn't it? It's so repetitive. Just their fans moaning about Wenger not spending any money.
They must have a billion in the bank.
They must. They protected the board, their hierarchy, and Wenger. It's watertight. Yeah. No matter what their fans do, until Wenger decides to pack it in, he's just going to be there. Because you know why? Because he's a yes man for the board. He's been well looked after. He's had quite a lot of relative success. He brings them what they want, which is Champions League qualification.
They're not interested in anything else.
They're not in debt. They've got a brand new stadium. They'll always have thousands of fans. They're just okay. They've got a few world-class players, but nothing more. They could probably kick on, but they're trying to do it a different way.
But I don't know. I can see them doing an us last season.
They could drop. They could really drop. There's such a reliance on Ozil and Sanchez in that side.
Absolutely, yeah.
Who else?
Anthony Walcott.
Walcott and Chamberlain never put a run of anything together. The defences and all of that.
Giroud's unsettled.
Giroud's unsettled. He was out the side at times last year.
Could be wrong. They asked the season in what they do. They know what they're doing to get top four. But I just think this year that's going to fall flat in its face.
Could drop a bit. But anyway, we're going to start sounding like Arsenal fan TV. Did you see that one the other day? What's happening, bloke?
The interview with Rav, that
fam. I was like, what's he talking? Is that new Cockney language or something? Bored, fam. And Wenger, I was like, bloody hell. No, that Arsenal fan TV is just comedy gold, but
it is.
Until Wenger goes or their board goes out and spends millions, nothing's going to change there. But no. The thing is, they'll finish in the top four, probably. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're saying they'll drop down, but look at them last season. They finished second.
Tottenham let them in, didn't they? Totally. But, you know, that represents, I think, our next tough game, and again, it's a real chance now over the next few weeks for us to get some points on the board.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Yeah. The Oval game tomorrow will be tough as well.
Yes.
Let's take each game and each podcast.
Early goal, please, Everton.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, definitely.
Any other business?
There's so much transfer news.
We've done that. We've done transfer news.
We've
done your love life. What ale we like.
We've done what ale we like.
West Brom, new signings.
Goodison Park, Arsenal.
Goodison Park revamp. We can't really talk about it until it happens.
No, but it has started on the sort of park end.
But why wasn't it done before the first game of the season?
I know, yeah. I get that. It should have been ready, really, shouldn't
it? The new stadium situation.
Yeah.
Huge rumours that we've bought land.
Well, I mean, if that is the case, Mark.
Keep your hands still.
Yeah, let's try and keep the hands still. If that is the case, Mark, then that is the signal of a truly... I don't want to say golden era, but this could be it for us, you know. In terms,
I can tell how low your voice and
I'm trying to keep measured. It's just going to be huge.
You mean business, don't you?
Everton, yeah. This is our chance now, our big chance to get our club where we want it, to get us looking down on other people, and also let's have it right. When people come into Liverpool, tourists, people from the Isle of Man, wherever, flying in, and they see that stadium in the middle of the ground, half of them, or a good majority of them, will think it's Liverpool's ground. And when they get told it's not Liverpool, it's Everton, the neighbours we like to keep in the backyard. I mean, how shit is their ground going to look if we've got a Docklands, I mean, you know, right in the middle of the city, right
on
the waterfront.
They can build their main stand on the top of the hill in Anfield, and it can be seen for miles around. But how often does the Merseyside and Liverpool skyline, even on the telly, or it's pictures on the internet, a million times a day, Everton's park, ground and structure will be a part of that. And there's no way you can remove it?
No way. It's there. Life. It's nailed on. It'll attract investment. You're going to be set for life with the likes of concerts and stuff. Everton FC is suddenly going to become the centre point to everything. Do you know what I mean? And our name is going to be all over the place. People are going to want to know, where's this club? And I thought, I've never heard of Everton. Why are they in the middle of Liverpool City Centre? Why? Why indeed? Ask away.
Because we were here before anyone.
Because we were here before anyone. And you can play on all that. First club in the city. They've been allowed to get away with far too much then. This is the very first small step to putting them right where they belong.
Oh, I can see that.
Mate,
see that hatred.
Mate, I hate Liverpool Football Club as much as I love Everton Football Club. That's the simplest way I can put it.
I can see it now. Cafe Mambo-esque rocks with yachts on the Mersey.
Yeah.
You know, cigars.
Mate, yachts on Aldridge's wife filing for divorce.
How many times have I said boat party in the past?
Mate, but it is though. It's going to be.
Aldridge throwing himself in the maze.
Aldridge and his wife throwing the champagne against the bus. I just, you know, it's going to be one of them areas where you can take your shoes off in the middle of winter and walk around in your bare feet and you won't feel any pain. So there's going to be gold-plated, you know, Everton statues. Yeah, mate, you're going to be walking on your own name as you walk into the ground. There's Everton boat party. There'll be a direct, you know, there'll be a tunnel straight to the boat from the ground.
We'll make an airport next to it, call it the Joe Anderson.
We'll have revolving seats, so if you want to change ends at half time, you can.
The Joe Anderson.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks. You're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit a million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Sergio Anderson.
Sorry, Joe, yeah. Make
if
it
he pulls
happen,
that
mate.
Off.
But, I mean, you know, we all know it, don't we? That's where we want to be. Right bang smack in the middle. Because it'll put them in the shade. 100%, and that's
but
what
also
we want.
It'll put Everton where we want to be. Yeah.
It's more about Everton Football Club or not, but you know we've added so much off them to last us all a lifetime. It'd just be great to put them where they want. But it's more. I agree. It's more about Everton and where we want to be. Forget everybody else.
So there's the stadium done and dusted.
We've built it already.
We built it. Yeah. Your Ben's down there.
He's
laying the first brick.
He's sorting out the cage with our Ben.
Luke Garbutt's gone to Wigan and Brendan Galloway's gone to West Brom.
Luke Garbutt, question marks over his attitude, I've heard. It's come out, maybe. Don't know. You've got to question a guy with that much talent. He's got a lot of talent, clearly. Looked a good player when I watched him against Krasnodar, I think it was. That it doesn't work out for him in Fulham, and now he's gone to another League One club in Wigan now, isn't it? You know, so I hope he does well. But I think he's got to start maybe looking at himself now, because he's clearly got the talent to be starting for Everton.
I think for me...
Or maybe in contention.
It probably represents where maybe Luke Garbutt is in his career and Brendan Galloway, where he is in his career.
Yeah.
Because Brendan Galloway, with all due respect, West Brom, about... I don't know who the left-back is now, but I can't remember. Who played on left-back on Saturday?
They had Dawson. They kind of played...
They had Paul Robinson as the left-back. That's the point I'm trying to make. So if they start Brendan Galloway at left back for the rest of the season, there'll be revelation.
I thought Galloway was good, but then when I look at Mason Holgate,
I think Galloway is good, but he once gone to a League One club, and I can see put it this way, I can see that move being made permanent easily.
Yes.
Whereas Galloway, no chance.
No, he's part of the future, isn't he? You know, but Everton clearly don't see West Brom as any kind of threat this season, so he's been allowed to go there.
Another one is, the other Tom Davison and Kieran Dahl.
I know. I had them. Do you know what?
Away, but I'd like to see a couple of them involved tomorrow as well.
Yeah, Kieran Dahl, Bickleton, because he's one of my favourite. I've seen him, you know, and he's got a wonderful left foot, cheedy-esque at times. And I just think he hasn't had a great pre-season, and it hasn't. I thought he'd really kick on in pre-season and become, you know, maybe part of the squad for the first team, but it just hasn't worked out for him, has it?
Yeah, they've sort of been backed away, haven't they? And they have been used in pre-season because we haven't been adept with our, you know, squad.
They played in that two-game back-to-back days, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did, but they may be involved tomorrow night, but then in and around. But again, it wouldn't be surprised if one of them maybe goes out on loan, you know.
I agree,
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe it'd be hard to pick who, because obviously Davis got probably a lot more ready than Dal, but they're just two of them.
Davis is...
They're just two of a few, aren't they? You've got Ty Brown and Conor Grant, other players.
The guy who played right back, Alan Connolly, as well.
Tarajai, is it? Your mate?
I got shot down by Narrow on Shani Tarajai. I thought he'd done all right. But he got blown over by a gust of wind. I didn't see that bit, but apparently he's a bit lightweight at the moment. But from what I've seen, the guy's got technical ability. You know, maybe alone and doing good and come back and do like a maybe, I don't know, small competition in it if he comes back and does well, number 10 goal. I think he plays in that number 10, doesn't he? So,
that's it. Know. So overall, we're going to win the lot. We're going to have a super stadium and we're going to
be on league title number 10 in no time.
A podcast a day keeps the red shite away.
In the backwater trough where they belong.
So, yeah, final thoughts. How long have we done?
About 4 days. I think I've got work in 5 minutes.
Just over an hour, yeah. Oh, you're all right, Mark. You've got time there.
Got time to get on the old Badoo when I get home, so no problem. Only messing. No, final thoughts, it's all good, isn't it? You know, it's nice to be positive. Nice to be not getting depressed about Everton, because we can do without that, Everton. You know, nobody buzzes like Evertonians, and it's great to see everyone to a man almost right behind what we're doing.
It certainly is, and I echo those thoughts entirely. And next week we'll come back and do a Deadline Day podcast. We'll probably try and do it live, to be honest.
Maybe even stream it live so you can see us.
Yeah, we're going to look into the streaming side of it. Obviously, we'll have to have a few Jaffa Cakes and get our technical heads
off.
We'll have
to have a few bevvies for that one, mate.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll look forward to that. Hopefully, we'll have obviously the Yeovil and Stoke games to cover, and we'll do it live and cover, you know, maybe the last 2 hours of the deadline. And just, you know, if Everton have signed all the players by then, then we'll discuss that.
Yeah.
If Everton sign any players during that time, we'll discuss that too. So, yeah, exciting times.
Absolutely, great to see.
What else was you going to say? Yeah, podcasts are available on iTunes still. Always forget this bit.
I know.
We've moved over from SoundCloud, so I don't think they're going on the feed, the RSS feed anymore. Acast is a very easy to use platform. You can download the app and you can actually follow us on Acast. As well,
and the
as
link's
Twitter.
Up on our Twitter page.
Yeah, so we've obviously started to blitz the Twitter a lot more. So keep sharing, keep listening, keep commenting, keep giving us feedback. And keep, if you want to show an interest of coming on the show throughout the season, get in touch with Mark, because he's on Twitter 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I am.
Ta-ra.
Thanks very much.
Ta-ra.
Cheers.